This podcast is brought to you by SMC. Money wise, be wise.
Hi and welcome to Money Control. This is Prakhar Sachdev and you are listening to On The Ball, Money Control's sports podcast. Team India is enjoying a great tour of West Indies, having won the T20I in ODI series with considerable ease. Virat Kohli's men are now gearing up for two test matches against the Calypsos starting tomorrow. In other part of the world, Australia and England are preparing for the third Ashes test at Headingley, which also starts tomorrow. To preview India's match against West Indies, talk about the permutations and combinations of the sides, and also shed light on the ongoing Ashes, I'm as always being joined by Network 18 Group Sports Editor Gaurav Kalra. So welcome to the podcast, Gaurav.
It's good to be here, Prakhar.
Okay, so going into the first test between India and West Indies, India's top four looks settled, but there are a lot of talks on the number five spot. Is there any chance that Virat Kohli could fit in both Ajinkya Rahane and Rohit Sharma in the playing 11?
I think there is a chance, but I think the conditions will determine that choice. If the wicket that it gets thrown up at in Antigua is going to allow for the fast bowlers to get help from that track, then India might be tempted to go in with a combination that includes the extra batsman, which would mean that Rohit Sharma bats at 6 and Rishabh Pant comes in at 7, or it could also mean that Hanuma Vihari comes into the equation in case that is the case. So I think that would be very, very dependent on the conditions. If the conditions are benign, Prakhar, and it does look like it will be a hard toil for the bowlers, then India might want to go in with a combination that would mean they have 3 fast bowlers and 2 spinners at their command so that they can rotate their bowlers, which would mean then that one of Ajinkya Rahane or Rohit Sharma will have to sit out, and then Rishabh Pant will get a promotion to 6 and Ashwin will bat at 7, and if Jadeja is the second spinner, then he comes in at 8. So those are the kinds of discussions that will be going on in the Indian team management's mind.
But who's your pick? Like you said, that if there's a toss-up between Rohit Sharma and Ajinkya Rahane, in case that India is going with 5 specialist bowlers, who's your pick among Rohit Sharma and Ajinkya Rahane for India's playing 11?
I think I would go with Ajinkya Rahane. I know Rohit Sharma got runs in the World Cup. He's been in very good form in white ball cricket. He also got some runs in the warm-up game, but so did Ajinkya Rahane. I think at this time, if there's a straight toss-up between Ajinkya Rahane and Rohit Sharma, I would plump for Rahane. He's got the greater experience and pedigree in international, in test cricket. He's got a great record behind him. He travels well as well. Rohit, his test record is something that is known quite well. That's still a work in progress. But he is, of course, a quality player. There's no question about that. However, I think if it comes down to a toss-up between those two, we might actually see, I believe that Ajinkya Rahane will win that toss-up. However, Prakhar, you must think of one other scenario. In the second innings of the warm-up game, India made Ajinkya Rahane open the batting, because, and that was in some ways perhaps a clue as to maybe another angle that they are looking at. How about if they actually open the batting with Ajinkya Rahane and Mayank Agarwal, and considering KL Rahul has been in iffy form a little bit, leave him out. Pujara at 3, Kohli at 4, and then Rohit Sharma at 5, and that still allows them to play Pant and then the 5 bowlers. So that might be another consideration for the Indian team management.
So there's still no clear picture coming out that what could be India's playing 11 come tomorrow. Okay, so Virat Kohli's selection headache just doesn't end with Ajinkya Rahane and Rohit Sharma. There have been also a lot of talk about the wicketkeepers as well. Now, Rishabh Pant is the selector's favourite, but his form with the bat has been inconsistent in the limited overs cricket that has been played so far. With Vardhman Shah fit, will Pant make way for the more experienced Saha?
I would not think so. I think Rishabh Pant, you've got to judge him on his record as a test cricketer and his record as a test match batsman, besides being a wicketkeeper. I think that in the current circumstances, he is the number one choice, and as much was said by MSK Prasad that they were looking to make Rishabh Pant play all formats as India's number one choice. he got runs in Australia, he got 100, he got 100 in England as well. And if India play with the five bowler strategy, then India would believe that Rishabh Pant as a specialist, as a batsman, offers more than Vridhiman Saha does. Because I think playing Saha at six or asking Ashwin to bat at six is fraught with a little bit of danger, because India's fast bowlers are really not going to contribute much with the bat. So in my book, Rishabh Pant plays ahead of Vridhiman Saha.
That's interesting. From batsmen and wicketkeepers to bowlers, Ravi Shastri earlier this year preferred Kuldeep Yadav as an overseas spinner over R. Ashwin. Should India go with the youthful Kuldeep Yadav or stick with experienced R. Ashwin?
I think if India go with one spinner, they will want to go in with R. Ashwin, because he's got the superior experience. He's also proven himself over and over again. He is a bowler of high class and pedigree, more than 300 wickets. I think Kuldeep Yadav offers a compelling option, but I think in the current circumstances, given how the makeup of this Indian team is, they would want Ashwin to play. He's also had a decent county season. He's been bowling quite well in on that circuit, picking up wickets. Also remember that Ashwin offers more with the bat than Kuldeep does. So India will not want to compromise on the depth of their lower middle order as well. Again, like I made the point earlier, if India is going to play Bumrah, Shami and Ishant Sharma, they are effectively going in with three number 11s in that playing 11. So that would mean that they need all the batting insurance that they can get, which is why I think that besides his superior record as a spin bowler and the fact that he's proven himself over and over again, Ashwin will also make a very strong case as a lower middle order batsman ahead of Kuldeep.
Coming to West Indies, any exciting player that you can think that fans should watch out for? One name that is consistently coming to my mind is that of Roston Chase. He has excelled whenever he has played against India, and more recently in a test match against England.
Yeah, I think the player that I really want to look forward to watching is Shea Hope. He's been a player that I enjoy watching. He's got a lot of class and pedigree about him. He's made runs previously in important test matches. Remember the win in England for the West Indies that he delivered. But I think in the case of the West Indies, I would hope that in Antigua, we see a surface which allows the West Indies quick bowlers to come into the game a little bit. I know that's a strategy that could backfire considering the quality of India's fast bowling as well. However, I think that that is one area where the West Indies needs to support their strength a little bit more. And if the wicket allows for the fast bowlers to have a good game, then I think the West Indies give themselves an even chance of competing against India.
Moving on to the Ashes, the second test was an absorbing draw. What did you make of Jofra Archer's debut at Lord's?
I don't think it needs to be said that Jofra Archer has to be among the most exciting cricketers in the world at the moment. It was that spell that Jofra Archer bowled, the fourth spell to Steve Smith, was something that was memorable. It is the reason why people flock to watch Test cricket. It was consistently at a very high pace. There was one delivery that was 96 miles per hour. I think he's got that, to use a cliche, he's got that X factor that draws crowds in, that makes people sit up and look at what he's doing. And I think one of the things that will be very important in the case of Jofra Archer is to make sure that he is able to continue to bowl at high pace, that he doesn't have to, that he doesn't reach a point where he's forced to reduce pace because he's playing too much, or he's got to preserve himself. The real USP for a bowler like Jofra Archer is the pace that he is being able to generate. So I think if England can give him that, can ensure that he's managed well, can ensure that he is always fresh and ready and given periodic rest, then we have someone on our hands who's going to be, one of, who can potentially be a bowler who can pick up maybe 300, 350 test wickets, who's to know.
Now, one performance that went unnoticed in the Lord's Test following Jofra Archer's Steve Smith duel was the century by Ben Stokes. So, how good or how important is Ben Stokes in England's scope of things now that England needs to level things up?
Oh, I think, needless to say, he is very, very important. Also, I think the one about Ben Stokes' play that was often talked about earlier was that he was, someone who only played at a sort of aggressive tempo and in an aggressive way. But if you saw that 100, it was a more calibrated and controlled 100. And he showed a lot of patience and a degree of calm, which allowed England to then get ahead in the Test match and put pressure on Australia. In fact, he bowled quite well as well, created opportunities. There were some drop chances of his bowling, and that would have allowed England to maybe even make a greater push for victory. I mean, Ben Stokes is, one of the premier all-rounders in the world. There's no doubt that he is box office. And just to see him perform as well as he is right now, it's cricket is very lucky to have players of this kind available.
Now, Steve Smith's concussion has ruled him out of the third test at Headingley. So, does Australia have a player to replace Smith, or will this give England an upper hand?
No, I think even if Steve Smith had played in the third test match, England would believe that they are now, because of the impact that Jofra Archer has had on the series, they are now in a position from where they can start to push Australia in the series a lot more. But I think, the concussion substitute that came on for Steve Smith, Manas Labuschagne, he played a very, very controlled innings. He was, in fact, instrumental in making sure that Australia did not lose that test match at Lord's. So he will come in for Steve Smith and be part of the 11, and Australia will take that, because while you can't replace someone of the quality of a Steve Smith, it's like asking India to replace Virat Kohli. But that is the nature of international sport, that there are injuries and you've got players have to get past those injuries. So I think while England will believe that even with Steve Smith in the Australians' side, they could have really gone for victory and levelling the series at Leeds. But I think in the absence of Steve Smith, Australia will also feel that Labuschagne did enough in that second innings at Lord's to show that he's ready to step up.
Finally, Gaurav, your predictions for the first test between India and West Indies and the third test between England and Australia, both of which start tomorrow.
I think India start favourites in that test against the West Indies. If we're going to get 5 full days of play, I would think India, a man-to-man, are a way superior team. So they should get past the West Indies quite comfortably. I expect India to win quite comfortably in Antigua. In Leeds, I hope for the sake of the series and for the sake of the Ashes and fans around the world, I hope England win this test match. And then the final 2 test matches, it's all to play for in those games to decide the Ashes.
Thank you so much, Gaurav, for your valuable input.
Thank you, Prakhar.
With that, it's a wrap on this episode of On The Ball. If you have any questions for Gaurav, please send us a mail on mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, it's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news and views, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com. Thanks for tuning in.